It's Helping Hand, Fridays on All Things Considered, and then archived at hawaiipublicradio.org, an organization, topic, or event that supports people with disabilities and vulnerable folks and animals. I'm Dave Lawrence. This week, week two in our three-week series of guests, trying to help people who are caught up in the largest, most severe homeless crisis anywhere in the richest country on earth, and that would be right here in the Aloha State. Last week was Mental Health Kokua. This week we are welcoming back the IHS, the Institute for Human Services. Returning guest spokesman, Kimo Carvalho. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
With so many homeless service providers in Hawaii and often in the news, describe what you see as setting IHS, Institute for Human Services, apart.
We are exclusively the only homeless service provider across the state of Hawaii that our only business is to serve homeless people.
The Sand Island Center. What's an update on that place?
So Hale Maliola is a housing navigation center. We are now able to serve homeless with pets, homeless who live in their cars, and couples. We have men's shelters and women's shelters and family shelters, and we needed a niche for our community to really offer services and not separate people or not refuse someone because they had an animal. The good news is Hale Maliola has been extremely successful in navigating, you know, over 300 people off the streets.
What other new things have happened with IHS?
One of the things we're trying to do at IHS is to modernize our shelter facilities to become a little bit more specialized. Today, we have so many different homeless subpopulations. We have homeless veterans, medically frail people who are discharged from the hospitals. We have addicts who need recovery, homeless with pets, homeless who live in their cars. There's so many different types of homeless subpopulations that we needed to modernize and diversify our facilities to be more specialized. We also have Tutu Birds Homes, specialty shelters for medically frail discharged from hospitals. We also have the Kalihi'uka Recovery House for homeless addicts. So we have a lot of new facilities, 8 in total. And that has been a lot of work in a year and a lot of support services. It just doesn't stop on the streets. It's also after they get into housing, we need to make sure they stay in housing. Right. But the real problem is that more people keep falling into homelessness at a larger rate than we're moving them out. So when we talk about a point in time count, there has been a slight reduction, and that is because homeless providers are now well more coordinated, able to identify someone right away, immediately pair them up with some kind of shelter or case manager or something that's going to get them into housing. But at the same time, what we're not doing, State of Hawaii does not have a policy currently to prevent homelessness. There needs to be leadership at the top level to really work across different departments and administrations to make sure that there's a systematic policy to really slow that pipeline of a lot of people falling into the system.
While there was an actual drop in the number of homeless in terms of that point in time count, Mental Health Kokua were just on, and they said Hawaii still has that number one state for homelessness per capita.
Correct. Yeah. You know, we are still in a crisis. We still do not have a coordinated mental health system. If I were to go on the streets right now and I were to offer someone with severe mental illness psychiatric medication, which we do offer them, they don't know they're sick, and so they refuse treatment. Addiction, mental health, these are neurological diseases that is making people impaired to the point where they cannot make decisions. But we as a community, our laws have not caught up to the evolution of medical treatment. We do have laws in place such as assisted community treatment laws where we can go to court and we can advocate on the client's rights to have guardianship and take over their rights to treat them.
Right.
But we have not been successful because our courts and the public defender's office does not agree with taking away their right to refuse.
And it's so weird because some of the cats, there's like this little frail Asian lady covered in dirt right outside the station a lot who you probably...
That's actually who I was thinking of. I was just saying
right,
that,
and it's like, how can they not say that she should come off the street? That case has been challenged and the law has said, no, you can't take her off the street?
Yeah, there is a client. A lot of people know her. You know, I graduated from high school in 2002. I always used to transfer to my bus at the bus stop on the corner of Alakea and Hotel Street. And used to always be right there. She used to defecate and urinate on herself. She used to yell. She had very erratic psychiatric episodes. And I'll never forget, you know, that was when I was in high school. And here we are, you know, two decades
later. This is the same person?
Same person that we've tried to take to court now 5 times. 3 years ago, we took it to family court, petitioned it, and we had to keep tweaking the law at the state legislature just to get them to balance.
She has family?
She does have family, but the family does not want to take responsibility. And there are a lot of people like that in this community.
And that's the same woman that I'm talking about?
Yeah. Just a couple weeks ago was our 5th time trying to go back to family court. The public defender looked at and said, you know, do you want treatment? She said, no, I don't need it. despite her meeting every single criteria and having a lot of substantial evidence. Yeah, and you know, we're just talking, Dave, about one issue amongst many homeless subpopulations. Right. There's not just the mentally ill. There's also the homeless addicts that are chronically homeless.
True.
There are a lot of transient homeless people. Mm. There are a lot of working homeless families with children. And there's so many different policies and systems that need to be fixed.
Is that part of what your ask is? Get a message out there, like policy change?
The first thing I ask everyone to do is just start by being educated about the causes of homelessness. Just us having this dialogue right now about identifying the problem and really talking about what causes that problem and the barriers to getting this person help. We do have a specialty shelter dedicated for people needing psychiatric assistance. And those are only for people, though, who actually accept psychiatric treatment. But what do we need after education? We do need funding to operate a specialty shelter like that. The government doesn't give us financial resources to do this type of innovative work.
So maybe people who are touched by these specific psychiatric crises could say, I'd like to make a donation earmarked towards you developing more facilities for these people.
Unfortunately, we do not have government funds to assist us with this type of treatment and this type of help and the housing and the case management and the food and all this work that goes into one person. You know, it really does take the private sector to really help advance solutions. The other part that people can get involved with is volunteerism. And when I say volunteerism, maybe more specialized volunteers. That example I gave earlier, where we take a client to court to get court ordered treatment, that requires a lot of research, going to the state hospital, to the Queens Medical Center, work with the homeless providers, gather all this documentation so that we can actually defend ourselves and why they meet the criteria to get court-ordered treatment. That's just one volunteer for one client. So there's specialized volunteer opportunities like lawyers. We also have a health services program, so we do need medical professionals. So if there's anybody out there who really wants to provide specialty services in any different area, from helping with children's enrichment, employment support services, just helping people build resumes, or healthcare specialties. There's so many different opportunities. So really engage with us. Ask us, what can you do to help this homeless problem?
IHSHawaii.org. info@IHS-Hawaii.org. 808-447-2800. Full interview, the radio feature, all their contact information, all of our previous Helping Hand guests at HawaiiPublicRadio.org. There's a whole different perspective on everything after hearing about that.
And it's, you know, it's very full circle for me, you know, to go from high school seeing this person and, you know, here I am in this role as a spokesperson for our largest homeless service provider. It really pulls at my heart. Here I am 2 decades later, I've gotten an education, developed a career, built friends and family. And here's this lady 2 decades later who doesn't have any of that. And it's not fair that our community has allowed her to live this lifestyle. It's not fair that our system policies and laws have not advocated for her right to treatment. She was a middle-class citizen and resident of Hawaii. She grew up in a beautiful family.
Born here.
Born and raised here. She's a child of immigrants. Like many of our immigrant families, they had to work hard. She unfortunately just suffered this mental illness. It wasn't something she chose. It wasn't something she asked for. It just developed when she was in her 20s. And after that, getting an education and having friends, you know, her mental illness basically exacerbated to the point where it is today. And so here she is 20 plus years later.
Unbelievable. Across the street from the radio station.
Yeah.
Within a few feet of a fire station.
Yeah. Put this into a different context. Imagine a first responder like a fireman having all the resources, the training, everything to go into putting out a fire, but they can't because they can't access it. And so they just have to let the building burn down.
So that's what you're saying about changing the policy.
That's basically the position we're in. Right. You know, we are trained clinical homeless outreach providers. We have a psychiatric medical doctor that is able to prescribe medication. We, unfortunately, like that analogy, we get stuck because, you know, we can't put out this fire because
the law is stopping.
The laws don't allow us to.
Skimar Carvalho, spokesperson for the Institute for Human Services in the Aloha State, which is still the most severe homeless crisis per capita in the United States. Sobering, but thanks for doing what you're doing, especially for people who really don't have anyone else to turn to. Thank you.
Thank you.